Frankie Lindor. He has gone 2 for 3 with a solo homer to left and a single plus a walk. His second at bat left-handed and the 1-1 delivery. A swing and a drive to deep right. Away, back, and gone. A grand slam down the right field line by Lindor. And the Indians have scored 5 in the 9th.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. You can find our podcast in the Google Play Store for Android users, on iTunes for Apple users, and on the Stitcher app, which is available on all platforms for both tablets and phones, and also on Apple AirPlay within cars. Please rate and review us on those platforms. Also, give us a like on Facebook, and please follow us at With an Ohio Bias on Twitter. You can always listen to any of our podcasts at withanohiobias.com as well. Kyle Downing from alwaysthejake.com joins us on the podcast. Kyle, welcome to the podcast.
How's it going, my man?
Oh, it's going well. You know, we're excited. Just waiting this long wait for the Indians to start. But we're going to talk about Indians baseball and a lot about what you guys do over there because it's focused on that. Please share with people what they can expect when they visit alwaysthejake.com.
Yeah, so what I'd like to tell people is that Always the Jake is a content center dedicated to sharing Cleveland Indians content and engaging the Cleveland Indians fan community.
Please share with folks how they can follow you on social media. We know how that Indians Twitter gets, and they're gearing up right now. So
you can follow us on Twitter at Always the Jake. You can find our Facebook page at Always the Jake. And, yeah, we have an Instagram account, but it's largely just for following the players, you know, just seeing what's up with the players' lives. But you can also, you know, follow that account at Always the Jake. Very simple.
And, Kyle, we're so happy to have you on the podcast. The reason it stuck out to me, of course, Jake, who's not with us on this podcast, unfortunately, but we always have the problem when we're talking about, you know, the stadium and stuff like that, calling it Jake and just making a mistake not to call it Progressive Field. Like, it's not like we're sponsored by Progressive or anything. So, but it's just funny. So we definitely love the name of the site and everything.
You know, I got the idea for the name, obviously, like, a while ago, there was a Facebook page that people started making, saying, I will always call it the Jake. And, you know, it's not that we're, you know, diehard dedicated to eradicating the name Progressive Field from people's memories. You know, Progressive Auto Insurance obviously gives the Cleveland Indians a lot of money every year, to, you know, have their advertisements played on their commercials and for the naming rights to the stadium. And we like that, you know. That's really good for the team because that means that they have more money. That means they're going to play better baseball. But there is just something about the nostalgia of Jacobs Field. You know, there's something about the Jake.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we talk about baseball and we talk about Jacobs Field. Is there some memory that sticks out to you?
Back during the 1997 season, right, the All-Star game was hosted at the Jake. And I remember getting to go to All-Star Fan Fest as a kid. I was 8 at the time. And my dad took me. I got to meet Sandy Alomar Jr. I got to meet David Justice. And then my dad actually went to the virtual batting cages and slammed a home run. And they ended up giving us tickets to the home run derby.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Like the greatest moment of my childhood, man.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. Great memory of the Jake. Absolutely. All right, let's get into talk about this season and what we can expect from the Indians. Let's talk arms. We know how the front of the rotation is going to look, you know, from everybody from Kluber, who's going up against King Felix to start off the, you know, whole baseball season. But the guys at the back end, we know Salazar starting on the 10-day DL, but Clevinger, Merritt, that looked good in spring training. Can we expect those guys to make an impact on the rotation? How do you see that shaking out?
Ryan Merritt's going to be starting the season on the disabled list. So we're not going to see him a whole lot right away. The back end of the Cleveland Indians rotation is going to be Josh Tomlin and, of course, Mike Clevinger. And, you know, we've seen Josh Tomlin for a number of years, right? We know who he is. He's kind of a fly ball guy that when he's on, It's all about his control and his command. You know, he is able to locate that baseball. He is able to hit the glove wherever it lies. But when, you know, whenever that starts to get away from him a little, he gets hit hard. So, I mean, when Josh Tomlin is on a roll, let's say, like, he's reliable, but when he's in a slump, the slumps are pretty disastrous. Mike Clevinger, on the other hand, my buddy Evan Vogel, who also writes for Always the Jake, he actually put up his Mike Clevinger 2018 season preview a couple days ago and sort of, you know, got me on the Mike Clevinger hype train headed into 2018. Basically, like, I don't want to spoil too much. I would go to the website, alwaysthejakebaseball.com, and read the article. But there is loads of potential in Mike Clevinger's arm. He did stuff last year that, you know, nobody else was able to do. The guy walks a lot of batters, but the guy also is able to strike out a ton of people. And he's, you know, he's not a prospect anymore, right? This is a guy who's thrown almost 200 innings in the major leagues. So I think we can really expect him to have a breakout season and, you know, sort of just show us all, like, hey, we have a fourth ace behind Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, and Trevor Bauer.
You got a lot of other content that you guys provide, and one of the videos that I saw was you talking about the new addition in Matt Belisle. You tried to temper expectations on a YouTube video, but I mean, can this guy replace the old back tattoo and Brian Shaw, or is that just, that's asking too much because everybody loves Brian Shaw until he gave up those big runs?
You know, I wouldn't expect Matt Belisle to be able to replace what Brian Shaw did for us. But Brian Shaw kind of gets a bad rap among the Cleveland Indians fan community because he's, again, he's one of those guys where when he slumps pretty hard. But Brian Shaw, like, over the course of the last five seasons, nobody in Major League Baseball has made more appearances or thrown more innings than Brian Shaw. He's just been this guy that you can always count on to come out of the bullpen and put up quality innings. So Matt Belisle, he's you know, a 37-year-old pitcher. Like, he's had good moments throughout the course of his career, and certainly like last year with the Twins when he became the closer, he put up solid innings, but he doesn't have that kind of velocity. He doesn't have that kind of nasty put-away pitch like Brian Shaw's cutter, which if you actually take a look at a Fangraphs article, I can't remember the name of it, but at Fangraphs.com, somebody a while back wrote an article about Brian Shaw talking about the best pitches in the playoffs. I think it was either 2016 or last year, and Shaw's cutter is definitely one of those pitches. So Matt Belisle doesn't necessarily have a wow factor, and I don't know if we can count on him for the same durability that we counted on Brian Shaw for, but, you know, he's there to be a middle reliever, you know? He's not there to hold down the back end like Shaw was. I think one person that we can look at this year and expect more out of than we've seen in the past is Zach McAllister. Yeah, and I know, like, you know, Zach McAllister's got a long tenure with Cleveland Indians, right? Like, we all remember him coming up from AAA Columbus as a starter.
I love the Zach attack. You know what I mean? I'm one of the few people, like, I mean, so, like, I get attached to guys, though, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a good guy to get attached to. It's just, like, it's one of those people that, you know, every once in a while he's shown flashes of potential, but he hasn't really held together consistently for the Indians. But this this spring, I remember I posted on the site at one point he had a 1.35 ERA through you know, spring training to that point. I don't know if it was that anymore, but a 1.35 ERA and a number of scoreless multi-inning appearances. So I think we could see him used more in high leverage situations, you know, like Terry Francona can bring him in with runners on base the way he does Andrew Miller. And of course, I'm not saying Zach McAllister's Andrew Miller, but to have like a multi-inning weapon to bring in at any time and sort of like put out fires, that's just another like really solid asset for the team. So if he can repeat that spring training performance over the course of the season, I think that's who we'll see more replacing the production of Brian Shaw than we will see Matt Belisle doing that, you know?
Very good, very good. No, I like that a lot. I mean, you're a little disparaging on my guy. I'm a big fan of the Deer Hunter too, just because I feel like Tom has never let us down in a big spot, you know, in a series or anything like that. He might not, you know, get you through the month of June or something like that. He always slumps there, like you kind of said, but when the series are on the line and stuff like that, he comes out with a performance that's good enough to either match the offense or just not lose you a game. And that always, I mean, that's the most important thing to me.
We don't need an ace-type Corey Kluber performance out of him or anything. You know, I think that's why a lot of people look at this rotation and are freaking spoiled because of all the ridiculous pitchers we have. But, you know, Josh Tomlin, he's a number five guy. So it's not like, you know, what he does for the back end of that rotation. Like, if you look at most other MLB teams, like, a lot of them have trouble finding a fifth starter that can stay, you know, in the rotation and produce effectively at all. The fact that we have somebody that's been a fifth starter for what, however many years Tomlin's been with the team. The only thing that that makes me cringe about Josh Tomlin is that he has the 13th homer to fly ball, 13th highest homer to fly ball ratio of all time among all pitchers in history. So
I mean, you got to try to strike him out. You got to try to strike him out there. I mean, but, you know, I mean, he's going to give you 13, 15 games, you know, a season, and that's what you need on the back end of that, as long as some guy's not giving you eight. So that's where you – I mean, I think that's exactly kind of where you point to. Nothing flashy, nothing but just solid, solid enough. Let's talk about a guy who you also break down on your site, which I thought this was an amazing one, is the guy who catches the ball from these guys pitching, and that's Yan Gomes. I mean, you broke it down month by month. People can go back and check out that elevator of a year. We all witnessed it last year. But does he find the consistency this season? As you looked at the numbers last year, you said he kind of found power in September. I'm hoping it was not the power from peptides like everybody else was talking. It was just that he was doing something else in the gym. But and he started coming on in big spots, you know, clutch when, I mean, at least when we got into the playoffs for that first round. But, I mean, we need more from our catcher spot. I mean, kind of the Indians that went out searching for Lucroy. We all know how that worked out, but they need more. they just need more.
Yeah, absolutely. So Yan Gomes has long been my favorite Cleveland Indian. So when I wrote the Yan Gomes 2018 preview for alwaysthedaybaseball.com, I was, you know, really excited to dig heavy into all of these different statistics and just sort of figure out what we can expect from Yan Gomes, who I refer to sometimes as the Brazilian Chin Dynasty. And sort of just like figure out what he's going to be for the Indians this year, because this is a player who is maddening to try to predict, right? You know, in 2013, when he came up in those 88 games or whatever it is he played, you know, he smashed 12 home runs, put up good offensive numbers, was a wizard behind the plate. And then, you know, we all remember 2014 when he won the Silver Slugger Award. But, you know, in the 2016 season, and in 2015, rather, sorry, he just sort of started to fall off. And it was, you know, the injuries did not help. And, you know, some people say that, you know, the injuries messed up his timing to his swing, stuff like that. But there's also, like, you know, the adjustment period of when you become a good hitter in Major League Baseball, the pitchers sort of work hard to figure out how to get you out. And there's people that have theorized, like, you know, Yan Gomes might just have a swing that's full of holes. You know, it's easy to find spots where it's difficult for him to hit. But in 2018, he started showing that he was going to, you know, not swing at all of those bad pitches. He was going to wait more for the pitches that he wanted to hit. And, you know, during a couple of those months, he was just phenomenal, like one of the best catchers in baseball. But then, like, during others, he was a complete disaster. So this season, we're probably looking at a fairly even timeshare between Yan Gomes and Roberto Perez. But I think overall, it's the catcher position is not going to be a disaster ever again like it was in 2016. Like, these are two guys, Yan Gomes and Roberto Perez, that we can count on to combine for above average production, which, again, not a lot of major league teams have the ability to rely on that. Not to mention Francisco Mejia, who's ready to come up in AAA and start wrecking it if either of those guys get injured. You know, most teams have trouble finding even a backup catcher as it is. The fact that we have a catching duo that we can count on and somebody else waiting in the wings who's one of the most hyped up prospects in baseball, that means the Cleveland Indians are well set at the catcher position more than most teams in baseball.
I have no empirical data to back this up, but the guy's got to stop swinging at first pitches. I mean, you talk about holes in the swings and all that. I don't want to hear that. The guy's a catcher, man. Like, this is just for me watching baseball games. The guy is a catcher. He should be able to see the first pitch coming down the pipe and know not to swing at something wildly outside. So if I see that again, I'm going to be all over the guy. I know he's your favorite player. And that's just a sticky point with me, you know. So,
Well, and you know what? I think you hit on a good point, which is when we see Yan Gomes at his best, it's going to be Yan Gomes being patient. The guy has a terrible, terrible poker face. You can see whenever he swings at a pitch that he did not want to swing at or shouldn't have swung at, you could just see this look on his face. It's like, ah, God damn it. So if we see Yan Gomes starting to be patient, that's when we know Yan Gomes is about to be on a roll.
Absolutely. I got to be patient at the beginning of the season, too, because I get so dialed into every pitch, man, and guys start striking out. I get frustrated, but we don't have Carlos Santana to, mess us up in these situational at-bats anymore. But some of the guys that were on the team a year ago, and Rajay Davis, who should help the base running, and Mike Napoli are back. You know, do you think these guys are enough to get excited about, or should I be, you know, putting Yadier Alonso in my fantasy baseball DraftKings lineup too?
Yonder Alonso is something to be pretty excited about. And I want to touch on a quick point. Like, you know, he is replacing Carlos Santana, who does kind of, I don't know, get a bad rap among Cleveland Indians fans as well. But Carlos Santana provided a stable force in the Cleveland Indians lineup, even if it wasn't for batting average or for power all the time. The guy had about a .365 on base as a Cleveland Indian, which means that, you know, you put him somewhere in the top of the lineup and then have the more consistent guys like batting behind him, he's going to be on base for them to drive him in. And I think Yonder Alonso, we have a lot to be excited about. In addition to alwaysthejakebaseball.com, I write for a site called MLB Trade Rumors. And I recently did the Cleveland Indians offseason preview. Yonder Alonso himself made some big adjustments, not only in his like swing path, but in his pitch selection, right? What we were talking about with Yan Gomes, swinging at the right pitches. So Yonder Alonso boosted not only his power last year, but his walk rate was higher than it had ever been in his entire career. And he worked on, you know, swinging at the pitches that he thought he could drive with his legs. So he made some meaningful changes, and I think, starting around like the end of April, beginning of May, we're going to start to see Yonder Alonso owned in a lot more fantasy baseball leagues, as opposed to people just sort of thinking, oh, well, he fell off in the second half last year. As far as Rajay Davis and Mike Napoli, though, to answer your bigger question, yes, it is awesome to have these guys back in the team, even if it's nothing else other than the nostalgia factor, right? Mm-hmm. That memorable 2016 postseason run, party at Napoli's every night, Rajay Davis slamming game-tying homers in Game 7 of the World Series, like that is just something that we can all look at, and every time Rajay Davis comes to the plate, we can be like, that was the last game Rajay Davis played in the Cleveland Indians uniform, and we remember him for that. As far as actual production, like we know at this point that Mike Napoli has agreed to start the season at AAA, right? So the only time we're ever really going to see him is if, let's say Edwin Encarnacion gets hurt, has to spend a couple of days on the DL, then we might see Mike Napoli come up, bat from the right side of the plate, you know, in an effort to replace him. Rajay Davis made the opening day roster And he's a great tool for the Cleveland Indians to use. And what I mean by that is that he can be, you know, deployed in a pinch running capacity. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy is 37 and does not seem to slow down, right? Even last year with the Oakland A's and the Boston Red Sox, I think he stole 29 bases, even though he made less than 400 trips to the plate. So we might see him just be used, like, you know, sometimes as a you know, the starting left or right fielder, depending on, you know, what the outfield composition needs to look like that day. But I think more often, he'll just be one of those guys that it's like, you know, late innings, Edwin Encarnacion walks, and we need somebody in scoring position to, you know, get ahead. You might just see people being lifted and Rajay Davis pinch running for them.
Well, one of the things I felt that was lacking last season was, without Rajay Davis there, I felt like we weren't aggressive in our base running the way that we were in 2016. They just, like, I mean, I know he had a huge number of stolen bases, but the team as a whole just wasn't, I mean, I know the numbers dropped off, but it just didn't feel like, even in the situations we did have, that, I don't know, I'm just a casual watch the game, not so much into the numbers guy, but I know the stolen bases dropped off, but I really correlate that to Rajay Davis not being in the locker room pushing these guys. I don't know if they had a bounty situation going on, with somebody had to buy steaks for the bases that were stolen, or what was going on, but Rajay Davis left and we didn't steal as many bases. So, you know, like,
you know, it's interesting there, to your point, there is actually a lot of empirical data to back that up. Not only did the Cleveland Indians steal fewer bases, they were a worse base running team on the whole, right? Like, in terms of going first to third, or, mm-hmm. you know, making it to home on, you know, singles with a man on second. You know, like, the team did not add as many runs through base running. And who knows, maybe back in 2016, Rajay Davis was some guy, like, giving people crap about, you know, oh, why didn't you take this, you know, 1-3? I'm 36 and I would have done that. Like, I don't know. Rajay Davis perhaps is a great base running presence, not just because of his speed, but because of his ability to be aggressive and just, like, his sense of timing, you know? So, yeah. Hey, maybe that comes back a little this year. Maybe he nudges some of those guys in the right direction.
The Rajay Davis effect. We'll definitely be tracking that this season. another thing we'll be tracking this season, you just made me think about something, and I wasn't going to bring him up just because we know what the real answer is, but I think about Carlos Santana and how in 2016 you kind of threw out there, you know, the numbers that he was stacking up, and even last year. But last year he didn't have a guy that, you know, was kind of in front of him or behind him, and that was Dr. Smooth, Michael Brantley. We know that he's one of the most consistent hitters, especially clutch hitters, that the Indians had, but we haven't seen it so long because of the health. If by the grace of God he's healthy, that consistency that he can bring to the lineup with just his bat, knowing that how he can hit,
such a hard subject for me to talk about, because every year I've been like, yeah, there's no real reason to think Michael Brantley won't come back from this. And then, you know, like, last year, like, he just, you know, when it came time for late season, he just couldn't get back on the field. And then the year before, like, you know, we kept thinking, oh, Michael Brantley's going to come back now. No, he's going to come back now. And then, you know, he ended up missing almost the entire season that year. So for their part, Chris Antonetti and the Cleveland Indians front office seems to believe that, you know, other players have come back from a similar ankle surgery and been just fine, right? And, you know, I think it's almost good that they're being really, really patient with Michael Brantley to start the season. You know, they're not trying to rush him back and get him back on the field sooner than he needs to be. They're just, you know, trying to make sure he gets his time necessary to recover, right? And so we've seen that when Michael Brantley is at full strength, even last year, right, he made the All-Star team again, right? He is still that hitter, right? And it's just, as long as he can make sure that, you know, that ankle is stable and that shoulder is free of pain, like, yes, the sky is the limit. This is a guy who was the third runner-up, or the, how do you say that? He was the third place MVP in the MVP voting, right? Yes, if he can come back, then the sky is the limit. We could see another 20 homer, 20 steal season with amazing on-base ability, clutch hitting, just having Dr. Smooth in the middle of the lineup, really driving the heart of the Indians' order. But I think that that will be a very interesting story to track, right? And then late season, if we do hear about like nagging injuries that are keeping Michael Brantley out of the lineup, I think all of our first instincts are going to be like, oh no, the season's over for Michael Brantley again. And I don't think that that's necessarily true. But I do think that if Michael Brantley has any more extended stays on the DL, like, it is going to be bad news. And, you know, we should expect that, you know, well, we should prepare ourselves for the worst and hope for the best, right?
I definitely agree with that. And it might be a shot in the arm when the Indians need it. They might go into a Hulk, God forbid, a losing streak or something like that. And then he comes back and provides a little energy that they need to get through, you know, the dog days of the summer or something like that. So,
yep.
How many comebacks can a team have, though, Kyle? I mean, the guy that was the hottest in spring training, you guys got a great YouTube video up about it, Dirtbag, man. I mean, he was almost traded up out of here. Still, you know, I don't know if you got a story you're working on for your other site on that one, too, but. Jason Kipnis, man. I mean, can we count on two comebacks? I mean, for one team?
You know, this is the main thing that I've been pushing about Jason Kipnis is when people doubt Jason Kipnis' ability to come back from something like this, look back to 2015, right? 2014 was the worst season of Jason Kipnis' career, right? He started off the season with that oblique injury, and, you know, when he came back, he never fully recovered, and he was terrible all year. But then in 2015, he comes out and has a month of May that's one of the greatest in Cleveland Indians history. I think he had something like 50 hits that month. And the rest of the year, he just like kept powering like past everybody's wildest expectations. You know, he had a 4.5 WAR season, and then he did it again in the next year. So, yeah, I mean, 2016 was a real disappointment in terms of what Kipnis was able to do on the field. But, you know, he's had comebacks before. So I don't think, based on what he's been doing this spring, too, like slugging 6 homers in like the first like 15 games he played or something like that. Yeah, look for big things from Jason Kipnis. This is actually one of those things where I'm going to make a definitive statement and not be all wishy-washy about it. I think Jason Kipnis is going to rock it this year.
This is a big one. Is this Lindor's MVP year? We're all hoping for it. Lord knows the Indians could try to get him a new contract again, but I think they probably are going to settle with another arbitration year. I don't know how that's going to affect him. It didn't affect him at all last year, but what are we expecting out of Francisco, man? And, I mean, you've used the word sky's the limit before. We know that with him, but are we taking this one to the bank, or has he got to go against Altuve and them and come up? Maybe he comes up third, just like Dr. Smooth did that year.
Yeah, you know, it seems like the Indians have a lot of guys that can, like, at least get their name wedged into that race, right? So, Francisco Lindor, the chances of the Cleveland Indians extending him this year are, I believe, almost nothing. Paul Hoynes of the Cleveland Plain Dealer recently wrote a piece or tweeted, I can't remember exactly how he shared the information, but basically that the Indians had approached Francisco Lindor and Trevor Bauer about long-term extensions, but that it doesn't seem as though that's going to happen this season. And Francisco Lindor, for his part, I believe he has some sort of contract with New Balance, right? Like, you know, marketing stuff. So he's got millions and millions of dollars in secure money, like, there for him, right? He doesn't have, like, that same itching desire to get that first big payday like we saw with Scott Kingery of the Phillies this year, right? You know, he took a deal that could end up being really, really cheap for his team, just on for in exchange for the security of having that life-changing money. Francisco Lindor can already count on that life-changing money, so it just seems like he's one of those guys that has the safety right now to just go for the ceiling in terms of lifetime earnings. It's really unlikely, I think, that we see Francisco Lindor extended at all, which is a huge, huge bummer to me because I love his presence, and I love the way he plays the game of baseball, and I wish he was a Cleveland Indian for life. But focusing on the good and focusing on this season, you are not the only person who has wondered, can Francisco Lindor become an MVP this season? The ESPN recently released their season predictions from a bunch of their analysts, and I think the most popular MVP pick among that group was Francisco Lindor, who is, I think, tied with somebody else, right? But two people picked Francisco Lindor as their MVP candidate. And I think, we saw a little bit of a drop-off with Francisco Lindor in terms of defense last year because he was focusing so much on his hitting. But, his hitting, wow. The guy slugged 33 home runs out of nowhere. So, if he can continue at those offensive levels while, fine-tuning his defense back to what it was before last year, not to mention the physical shape that Francisco Lindor is in and, what he came to spring training looking like. The dude has biceps on his biceps right now. So, I think Francisco Lindor MVP is, you can never say with certainty whether or not somebody will be lodged in that race because baseball is such an unpredictable game. But yes, he has just as good of a chance to be right there in that race with Jose Altuve or, Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton. Francisco Lindor could be right in there with them.
All right, let's get to the most important question. Predictions for the record, do we get this one across the finish line? Am I wearing a winter coat to a parade in November?
The Cleveland Indians fan inside of me just is bursting with excitement about this season, right? I mean, it's a bummer to lose Carlos Santana, but the team has Yonder Alonso here to sort of offset some of that. The bullpen's not quite as strong as it was, but the Cleveland Indians have a lot of young talent ready, waiting in the wings this year to try to come up and impress and just be that next Jose Ramirez or be that next Michael Brantley, that just sort of comes out of nowhere and starts, wrecking opposing teams for the Cleveland Indians. I think that this is the year. I am really excited about the offense, about the defense in the infield, about Bradley Zimmer's chances to, sort of emerge as yet another awesome offensive juggernaut in the Cleveland Indians lineup. I think the pitching is just as good as it's always been. And last year, the Cleveland Indians pitching was by WAR the greatest pitching staff of all time. We got that entire rotation coming back. I want to predict 100 wins for the Cleveland Indians, but it's never smart to predict those kind of heights. I think my win prediction for them this year is 96 wins. I think they take the Central for the third straight year, and I do not see a reason to think that any other team is better primed for a World Series win. I mean, obviously, I can't say with 100% certainty that they are the team that wins it, but looking at all the competition around them, I think they are a better and more well-constructed team than the Astros because they have that depth, right? I think they have the offense to match the Yankees. I think they have the bullpen to lock it all together. This is the year.
All right. Well, leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Very excited about opening day, and we're going to get Jake on to talk with Kyle and myself next week here as we get closer to the home opener and have a better look at everything. We'll hold you down to your next prediction after you get to see a couple games, Kyle. How about that one?
Absolutely. More reason to be excited, right? The games are starting, and that'll just provide me with even more energy for the next podcast.
Absolutely. Tell folks how they can follow you again on social media. And then we know you mentioned Evan, all the other folks that you work with, and anybody else, any other shout outs you want to give?
Always the Jake. We are a fairly young website, right? We just had our official launch on March 7th. And, you can find us at alwaysthejakebaseball.com. Just go straight to our website every day. We have new content. And, you know, we can be followed on Twitter at AlwaysTheJake. And you can find our Facebook page. You know, we're going to be doing, like, Facebook Live, like, pre-game and post-game chats. And that Facebook page is, again, AlwaysTheJake. And I want to give a shout-out to Matt Chirilla of Big Stash Designs for bringing together all of the awesome – for being such an awesome web developer, right? He took the image I had in my brain for the website and just sort of made it a reality. I want to thank Brian Hyes and Evan Vogel and Steve Kinsella and Matthew Bretz and Brian Bichetti, who are guys that have written with me in the past. And when I brought up, you know, the idea to start writing again, they were just like – gung-ho, all on board to just start putting more Cleveland Indians content in the world. My buddy James Penka from college, who also joined to, you know, have his first official Cleveland Indians baseball writing outlet. I am just really, really grateful that the site has come together, and keep an eye out for a bunch of our new features to come. We are going to be connecting a full Cleveland Indians roster breakdown, depth chart, payroll breakdown, just any Cleveland Indians information that you want will all be in one place by the end of this month, and I'm really excited about it.
All right. Well, we're excited to talk with Kyle again here. Like we said, upcoming, you know, when we get close to the home opener. And, Kyle, man, we're always excited to talk to anybody about the Cleveland Indians and all things Ohio sports. So, man, thank you for your time on the podcast, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Of course. Thank you so much, Demetrius. Go Tribe.
Absolutely. As always, roll Tribe.
You can hear more of things like this on With an Ohio Bias. Be checking us out, withanohiobias.com. You can find us on iTunes, the full podcast on iTunes. Just search With an Ohio Bias. Give us a like, subscribe, and write us a review even. And we would really appreciate that. Thanks for listening, and we will talk at you next time.